right now.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Talia B, at the Philadelphia Podcast, all exclusive interviews in Philadelphia. How are y'all feeling tonight? Before we start in with our exclusive interview with Baller's own London Brown, we're going to hear a quick shout-out from our sponsors, from our co-host, Chex.
Yo, yo, it's Chex of the Tsunami Club. Want to give a big shout-out to our sponsors. Hip-hop since 1987, Philly Fry Edibles, Showgirl Official, Raw Life Records, Kings Road Live, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Forge Recording Academy, and Anchor FM.
All right, and once again, it's your host, Talia B, at T-A-L-A-Y-A-B on Instagram, and you're tuned in to the Exclusive Philadelphia Podcast. And today we have an all-exclusive interview with London Brown from the show Ballers on HBO. So I'm going to give him a chance to introduce himself and give himself a shout out on Instagram.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is at Real Linda Brown, aka Fat Rage from HBO's Ballers. What's good?
All right, so how are you feeling tonight? I'm excited for this interview. My dad actually put me onto the show, and a few people in the studio tonight watch the show as well. So we're excited to hear from you and talk to you tonight.
Yeah, I'm over here on the West Coast, man, and I was like, yo, let me connect with y'all. If y'all on the East Coast, I got friends over there, so this was exciting for me to do.
Yes, it's exciting for us to do as well, because it's the same thing, you're on the West Coast, so it's good for us to intertwine and get to know one another.
Facts, right.
So, all right, we're just going to jump right into it then. And I just wanted to know, before we get into all the good stuff, what is just some stuff about you? Who are you for the people in Philadelphia who might not watch the show or not know your background? What are some of the things that you would want people to know about you yourself?
I'm an actor, comedian from South Central Los Angeles. And just on the grind, just a brother just trying to pursue his dream pursuing it and staying focused and you know what I mean, I just try to do my part and give back, whether that means community work, dealing with young people, you know, or looking out for my family, and you know, everything else goes to just being focused and just trying to be progressive. And I mean, that's some of the basics. And I don't like racism. That's another thing. I'm big on that too, man. I bother the fact that people can be so shallow like that to kind of have that kind of division amongst people because of skin color and silly stuff like that. So I don't be with that, man. And outside of that, man, I just like to keep it thorough for myself. And if I can inspire people along the way in the process, then that's what I'm about.
Okay, that's awesome. That's great. I love to hear that. I feel the same way. I actually grew up in like a predominantly white community, so to now see how things have shifted in society, it's crazy for me to have to deal with. And it's good to hear other people, black people, talking about it as well in the community and making sure they put a push on it to speak about it.
Yeah, that's real. That's real right, man. So,
You spoke a little bit on, you know, succeeding in reaching your dreams and completing your goals that you wanted to get to. So could you talk about some of the projects that you've done for the people who don't know about different various projects that you're on?
I first got going with a TV show called The Hustle on Fuse. Shout out to Princess Penny, who's now the showrunner for Insecure.
Oh, okay.
So I got my first kind of TV start with that. And we did pretty well with that. It did we did one season of that, and it lasted for what it did. And then after that, I was still just grinding it out on the comedy scene, and I was on the road with Chris Tucker as his opener for a few years. And so I was on the road with him and still like auditioning and still trying to make moves. In the process of that, 2014. Which was like my brokest year. I had a balance of like $28.
Right.
And I was trying to figure it out. And then I got a call for the HBO was looking for me for Ballers. And I hadn't heard of it or anything like that. And at the time I didn't have an agent or anybody to even, you know, submit me for the project. So I still still wasn't sure initially how they found me. But it worked out. So that's kind of somewhat of where I am today. Is do that. So okay. Yeah, there's a little stuff in between, you know what I mean? Some small projects for TV One and BET, good friends with those guys over there. So it's it's been a process. It's a grind, but you know, all of it I can appreciate because it sets me up for the next move.
In the end, it always works out.
Always, man. So I don't take credit for it. You know, I know that God set it up and put people and gave me favor. So I don't take too much credit for that.
And that's awesome. It's great to hear how humble you are, because you're really coming up. Your name's getting really big, you know, with Ballers and HBO, so that's awesome to hear. And congratulations to you, and it's amazing to see, you know, someone just pushing through and succeeding their dreams.
That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to live. I'm trying to build.
Right. That's what everybody's trying to do nowadays. That's what you got to do now. What would you say is one of your favorite projects or shows that you've been a part of thus far?
Well, we'll say that, like, Ballers has been really dope because Ballers was the project that allowed me to catch up on my bills. You know what I mean? Like, that's the project where if I had anything else going on, like, it helped me kind of get out of my little debt situations and off my friends' couches and everything like that, and off my mama couch. So I owe a lot to Ballers, but the one that is special is, like I said, the first one I did, The Hustle, because the industry is real tight. Like, they don't, they mess with you if they know you, and especially if they don't know you, nobody's trying to really give you an opportunity because they just feel like, you know, people just don't mess with you. And so for that direct, I'm sorry, I know y'all might hear a little buzz in the background. I'm cutting hair. So,
you're all right. You can't really hear it.
Yes, I know people hear buzz. But yeah, so basically for him to take a shot on some unfamiliar actors, I won't say new actors, because me and the other guy on the show, who plays Daniel Insecure now, my boy Lon Noel.
Okay.
And also shout out to Clinton Lowe and Erica as well. We were all kind of unfamiliar faces on the scene.
Right.
So it's one of those things where to just even say, yo, I'm going to take a shot. I know nobody knows y'all, but hey, I'm going to rock with y'all because that's how it's going to be. And I can always appreciate somebody taking a chance on me. Because they don't have to. He could easily gone with any, you know, other young actor who had more credits. But he decided to roll with us. But a testament to them taking a chance on us is the fact that, like I said, a year or so later, we both, Alon and I, and even actually Erica as well, we end up on HBO.
Right.
And anybody who knows anything about, or even a little bit about, the TV network and how they work, HBO is not going to take, they're not messing around with their talent. Like, you say HBO has really good programming. Like, they don't have shows that last a season and a half. Like, they make sure they got top writers, top actors, producers, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, the quality of TV that they have going on over there just lets you know that we did have a little something special as actors to bring to entertainment. And shout out to Elon Noel, who just starred in The Purge that came out July 4th. He's doing very well. Clinton Lowe, the other guy on that show, is working out in New York doing theater, moved out to LA recently pursuing his thing, and Erica will be on Insecure this season. So we trying to move forward, you know what I mean? So it's a step, it's a process.
But the process is turning out to be a good process in the end, so that's all that matters.
I know.
The success in the end is what matters.
Yeah, right.
So speaking of your success and, you sound so humble and you sound so grateful. So how do you remain so grounded with the success that's come along with your career now?
I have people around me that keep me very grounded. I got friends that I grew up with, and I'm not a big, I'm not a cliquish kind of dude. But I do keep some solid friends around me, and they, you know, I still function in the hood. So I know sometimes I run into people in LA. I don't know if y'all got these out there, but out here we got like basically just these swap meets, and the swap meets is just where they, for listeners who aren't from the hood, who don't know, who don't function in Philly or LA or so forth. Swap meets are just basically discounted. It's like a warehouse full of discounted shops. Mm. And so any thug that want to look for a white t-shirt, you go in there, you want to buy a fake chain, summer dresses, nails, all that, you know, all
anything
that.
Anything you need.
Anything you need, one-stop shop. So I be in these places sometimes, and people come up to me like, man, what you doing in here? But I think a lot of people just don't know, because they just see TV, but they don't know I come from the same places, so I try to make sure I stay connected in that way. Also, you know, by always trying to visit and go to juvenile halls, middle school, on career day, whatever that is. Because I used to teach middle school. I was a teacher. Then I was also in after-school programs. And, you know, I always made sure that I was, you know, definitely trying to help my own.
That's great.
Or help the young people that come for me. And then another thing I do, and not to be verbose about this, but I make sure I always try to feed the homeless too, because I realize, like, first of all, I hate wasting food. So anytime I have leftovers, I recook it, plate it, take it down, you know, to the homeless. And once you get down there, you talk to these people, you realize, like, everybody ain't down there because they crazy or they on, exactly, you know, drugs. Like, people just got some hard times they're going through. Mm-hmm. And I like to connect, keep, you know, stay connected to that, because it reminds me that we all are just like a situation away from possibly being there. So I don't ever kiss up to nobody, and I don't ever put anybody down, because to me, you know, people are people.
Right, that's great. I respect that so much. In a world full of, you know, fake people and phony people, and how big your name is getting and how great your success is, how do you weed out bad people from your circle? How do you keep those negative people out of your positive energy?
You know what? I think sometimes when I get around people, I like to size people up as far as, like, what their intentions are. And because especially with what I do or anything that will produce some sort of attention, I talk about this too on my Instagram. Like, I'm not into thirsty people, right?
Okay.
And if people, I gotta preface this, because I know sometimes people may not know what this is. Y'all may know, but I mean the listeners. But thirsty is like the things people are willing to do to get extra attention, to fill a void that their parents or their upbringing created.
Right.
So by that, I don't need to be around anybody who needs extra attention. Now, as humans, we need attention, right? So that's cool. My theory is that if you do something that's really, really good, then you'll get attention. You ain't got to be wearing the super skimpy clothes. You ain't got to be a dude with his shirt off at the gym every day. You know, that's going past motivational. Now, you all at Popeyes with your shirt off and a hat. You're trying to, like, it goes too far. So for me, when I sense any of that, I step away from those kind of people, because now it's starting to get unhealthy. Or, you know what I mean? Like, people just with negative energy. When I'm around somebody, I will find out where they are with me based on how they respond to the things that I have. Now, to me, the things I got are just, you know, even being on balls is cool. I don't feel I'm on yet. I just feel like, you know, I'm working. That's all right. Well, acting is like an incredible temp job. Like, when you work, you work. And then when you don't, you got to find the next hustle. You got to make a move.
Right.
So, for me, you know, when I see people start getting tight about, you know, something I got going on, I'll be like, okay, I got to back up. Or if let's just say, like, sometimes different people will come in, and sometimes a girl will act like she's cool just on the friendship level, but then I start seeing signs of jealousy or something weird, or I don't deal with nobody up and down on any kind of level. I like consistency with energy. And if you too negative, I'm not mad at you. I just can't be around you. I don't try to change nobody. I just got to say, you know, hey, man, do your thing. Right. And I'm going to stick up here to, you know, to the real side. So that helps.
I respect that. I like that. You gotta always keep your energy positive, even in the dark times. You gotta make sure you uplift yourself, uplift the people around you.
Right. But also to what you just said, which is interesting, a lot of people don't understand. They're busy going around trying to find other people that make them happy, when right. happiness is an emotion that comes from the inside of us.
Exactly. So
that's why I tell people, I say, yo, two things, well, a couple things, but two major things of happiness is like, but one of the main things is, do we like what we do for a living? A lot of people are miserable with what mm-hmm. they do, and they so busy trying to chase what the big thing now is, chase the bag.
Right.
I'm like, this is why, you know, these celebrities be up here committing suicide because you're not happy on the inside. Money does not make you happy.
Right.
But people think that it does, and people are wanting to do anything for this bag. You won't ever hear me talking about chasing no bag. I know a lot of people do it. I know it's hot on the scene and hip hop in the streets. London Brown is not out here trying to chase no bag. The bag, not because I don't want the bag. Don't get me wrong.
Right, the bag is nice.
The bag is gonna come, but right. when you're doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing, the money gonna beat it. Just get good at what you do, whatever that is.
Right,
the bag gonna be there. So. Don't get it wrong. I don't want y'all to think, I don't want the bag. I want the bag. But that's what that is.
No, I feel what you're saying 100%, and I feel the exact same way. You got to love what you do, because if you don't, you'll be miserable in that position. I've been there before in jobs where you're just miserable. You don't do your job well. You don't care about it. Exactly. It just doesn't work.
It's that simple.
So I know you've experienced a lot of, you know, fans now, and, you know, people coming to your Instagram and following you. What are some of the craziest fan experience you've gained while being famous?
This is an interesting one, because I will say this might be one. Sometimes I do stand up, and this is one, like, sometimes I do stand up and I travel around, you know, the country to do it, and I've had people show up at a show out of state, and I guess people do that, but it's something interesting to me that I'm like, I don't know what to do with that sometimes. I was like, you came out the country, but I don't know. That's kind of weird for me. And then, at least on this level. Now, if I was on, shout out to Kevin, and I don't even got to say his last name. You already know.
Right.
Kevin, I was only one Kevin.
Yeah.
So, now, Kevin level, you like, yo, people, a dude to take his girl out, and or she'll treat him for his birthday, and they go fly out, have a good time, and the weekend go see Kevin, dinner, drinks, in the hotel room, boom. But I'm like, me? Like, what you doing? If you, anybody that's going to come out and see me, let me know. I don't like, don't right now, that gets weird. If you know, on this level. I'm cool enough to where he say, hey, I'm going to go out and see your show and support. Okay, thank you. Don't be just popping up, because that's weird. I've had some people do some tattoos. That was kind of a big deal. That was interesting for me.
So you have some people doing tattoos of your face?
They did tattoos of a couple interesting things. And I said, oh, well, okay. it's flattering, and I just, you know. But maybe that might be kind of it. The other stuff, I don't even know if it's, the other stuff might be just crazy, you know, but it's all kind of like, oh, okay, well, thank you. But no wild, wild stories yet, not at this point.
Nothing crazy just yet?
Not yet. Hopefully, I won't have any
soon to come.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't know, man.
We'll have to get you back on the show in like a year or two and see what you have to say then.
Let's see. I don't know. Like I said, everybody, you know, be like, man, somebody bought me a Jeep and a house. Like, I don't know. Sometimes people show their appreciation in all kind of different ways. So,
right.
I don't know, man. But right now, I'm real regular, so ain't nobody tripping. Not yet, anyway.
All right. Well, so what are some things you think you learned, like, on this path thus far? There's a lot more things that you have to learn in your path to success, but thus far, what is something that you would give to advice to a young actor who's looking to, you know, get where you are or even farther?
I would say, man, first I would suggest people to do the thing that they're supposed to do. But a lot of people don't know what they're supposed to do. And to them, I say, I remember I had an OG tell me one time, like, the thing that you do with the least amount of effort is the thing you're supposed to do. Like, that's the gift. But I think sometimes we overlook that because we're like, oh, man, I can paint. But, you know, I'm like, no, that's something that you should be honing. It's special. And so that'll be the first thing. The next thing is not to be afraid. Like, the minute I started doing stand-up, I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Or even with acting, I was like, this is it. And I've been going at it, and it's not overnight or anything like that, but your life does change when you do the thing that makes you happy, like your whole perspective about it. Because sometimes people are just, like, to what we mentioned earlier, people are trying to chase money, but when you do the thing that you love to do, that the thing that fulfills you on the inside and makes you happy, naturally, you become good at it because you put the time into doing it, because it doesn't feel like work. It just feels, it's like breathing. You feel the, you know, you're putting the work behind it, but I'm saying it's work that you can enjoy doing and you don't mind doing because you love doing it. So naturally, from all the hours of just, you know, working at the craft and at the gift and so forth, you look up, you're like, oh, somebody's willing to pay me how much to do this? Like, yo, LeBron signed, I think, a 4-year deal out here for the Lakers, I think $154 million. And I remember I saw some meme where they did the breakdown, and he getting, like, something, like, crazy, like 9 stacks a minute or something wild.
Right, I saw that, too.
I'm like, all he has to do is the thing that he loves doing, which is playing ball. Everything else, giving scholarships to the kids, that's cool. A house, that's cool, and the cars and all that stuff, that's cool. But the thing that drives him, that has created all the other opportunities of success in his life, is he's doing what he loves to do, playing ball. And I feel the same way, where I'm just like, I really enjoy what I do. And so even now, sometimes we'll get a little check. That ain't nothing on LeBron's numbers yet, but just somebody willing to say, yo, Leonard, we're going to pay you to... I'm like, you want me to talk to these people for... You said about 15 minutes, you're going to pay this?
Right.
Oh, okay, well, we'll bet.
I'll be there.
You know? I'm there. And so it just makes you... It drives you in a different way. You wake up with a purpose that's different from just waking up getting this money. I don't know about that life. And I'm not knocking. I got a lot of homies that think that way. And I'm not knocking them for thinking that way. I just want to at least expose them to the idea that there is another way of waking up in the morning outside of just getting this bag and chasing. I don't know how clean the show is. I'm going to say chasing these women. That's how
done.
It's other stuff out there, man. I'm like, dang, that's all I'm saying. I'm not knocking nobody for nothing. I'm just saying there's some other things. Look, put it this way. When you do the thing that you love to do, the thing that makes you happy, all that other stuff is gonna come anyway. Think about it. Women like guys with a status. It don't matter if he's the manager at a 7-Eleven, or he's the manager at a record label. There's some woman that like him because of status. So if it's a guy that really are into women, then all he has to do be good at what he does That's going to bring status. That's going to bring whatever attention. That's going to bring financial. That's going to cover your house. You're going to be good. Just stick to the thing that you're supposed to do. And everything else open up. Just like Snoop. Snoop a rapper. That's what Snoop do. Snoop rap. But has that been the only thing Snoop has done? Snoop has been a Martha Stewart doing a cooking show. Got a weed shop. You know, this TV show. That correspondent. This tour. Snoop can do what he want to do because he moved through the thing that he moved through his strength, which was hip hop.
Right. So, you know, we talked a lot about your success, and you touched on, you know, women a little bit. So before we head into our break, the one thing I wanted to talk about really quick is, you know, is there a special woman in your life? And if not, what are turnoffs for you when it comes to women?
you know,
we're tuned in now. We're listening.
There's special. I see there's special women in my life. But I say it like this, though. As far as like on the serious side of that, just like my mom, my sisters and my niece and stuff like that. But as far as anything relationship, I've learned this from Jay. Anything when it comes to dating or full on anything like that, Jay-Z never talked about relationship. Yo, Jay-Z, how do you feel about, are you dating anybody? You know, let's just keep it focused on, let's keep it real hip-hop, and he go right back, you ain't getting nothing out of Jay. I learned that. Shout out to Jay Class 101. But before we go to break, turnoffs, what to talk about on stage, I don't like aggressive women. I don't like women. How can women take, women have said some stuff to me, I'd be like, the roles have switched these days. In 2018,
yes, they
chicks
definitely
are straight
have.
Like dudes. They are aggressive. They come up and I had a girl come up with a condom in her hand, shake my hand, talking about leak the parking lot right there.
I'm like, gosh.
What you doing? Calm down. Stop being thirsty.
Right.
Like,
right.
Relax. Like, guys, I'm telling you, over everything, guys like confident women. Something about the woman that's in the corner who ain't got to be all in the dude face, and she knows she looks good, she knows the guy's gonna approach her, that energy, and you put that together with all of her pokertudinous, oh man, she that is fly. I like, you know what, I like a woman who's not quiet, but she reads as quiet. Like, she seemed like she quiet, but she talked, but she come off, her energy is real calm, real collected, you know. Bedroom stuff is bedroom stuff. You know, whatever you're going to say, say loud, whatever you're going to do.
Right.
But just, you know, with the whole little lady in the streets, freaking, that's kind of my speed. I want lady-like stuff is always good.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So what we're going to do is we're going to head to our break really quick. Once again, we are tuned in live exclusively on Philadelphia Podcast. I'm your host, Talia B., and we are tuned in with an interview with London Brown from the show Ballers. And before we go on our break, we're going to give one more shout-out to our sponsors.
Yo, it's your boy, Chex. And I want to give a big shout-out to Hip Hop Since 1987, Philly Fried Edibles, Showgirl Official, Raw Life Records, Kings Road Live, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Play, Forge Recording Academy, and Anchor FM.
And we'll be right back after this.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.